Let's pray together in the presence of our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word which endures forever. Help us to be those who can hear it, who can put it into practice tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, my name's Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here, and I want to open with a bit of an apology. You can probably hear slightly that my voice isn't what it maybe always is. I too was on the church camping weekend, and we had a tug of war, which I got very competitive in, and was shouting, "Paul! Paul!" We won. What can I say? So an apology to start with. Tonight, we're in the second of a two-week short series. Do we have the clicker anywhere? Oh, that's bad for me, sorry. Oh, there it is, well done. Thank you very much. No point in preparing a PowerPoint if you don't know what you're going to do with it. Lovely. So we're in a two-week series thinking about false teaching. When churches teach things that are false, not true. And see this picture up on the screen? Nick showed us this last week, how there are true versions, and how there are fakes, these lovely Louis Vuitton bags. Brilliant. And we said that when false teaching exists, it's actually really dangerous. So it exists, and it's really dangerous. Look at these two helmets. Okay, one is a real one. The brand, I don't really know who they are, AGV or something. Apparently it's very expensive. And one of them's a true one of them's a fake. And the article that I got this picture from says that the one that's a fake is actually really dangerous. If you're in a crash with it, your head will get crushed. No good. And it's a little bit like this with false teaching. We heard last week, it is destructive, says 2 Peter. So false teaching is, it exists, and it's dangerous. That's a bit of a recap, really, but tonight we're going to think about, well, what are we going to do about false teaching then? If it's out there and it's dangerous, how are we going to keep safe? And our passage goes right to the heart of the answer. Okay, this is Paul speaking to his missionary friend Timothy, and where Timothy is, there is some false teaching. And he tells Timothy what to do about it. Verse 2, right at the heart of the answer, the first three words. What do they say? Have a look. What do the first three words of verse 2 say? Preach the word. That's the solution. Preach the word. God's word, the Bible. It's pretty simple, really. If you take nothing away from tonight, take away this. What we need is people to preach the word. Word, and that's our first point tonight. I look down again at verse 2. It says this: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. This is what Paul says the church needs. It needs people who are going to preach, who are going to proclaim, announce, teach the word. And verse 1 tells us that this is a really important instruction. Okay, verse 1 is this kind of drum roll into verse 2 that points out that this really comes with God's authority. Verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. It's a huge drum roll. This is what God thinks is important. So verse 2, this is really important. Preach the word. And so top of the job description for your church leaders, for me, for Nick, for Steve, for Adam, for Sarah with the children, for Kathy as she helps us with the music, is that we want to make sure we are proclaiming, announcing, preaching God's word. A friend of mine who lives down in Seaford, he once asked me, I worked for a church before this, and he once sort of asked me, what do you actually do? And I asked him, well, what do you think I do? He said, well, I don't know. Do you just sort of stand around, maybe polish the organ? I helped him understand The thing that we're supposed to do is preach the word. That's what it's about. That's what the church needs. And when it says word, we mean God's word, not just any old word. Look over the page, down at the bottom of the other page, 3 verse 16. This is the word. All scripture, that's word, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word is God's own words, God's breathed out words. You know, when you and I speak, we're breathing out and something funny is happening with our vocal cords and we make words. I mean, tonight my vocal cords aren't quite doing their right job. But that's what we do, right? Well, the Bible is God's spoken, breathed out words. So when we read the Bible, when we're listening to people teach the Bible, we're listening to the very words of God himself. More exciting than any celebrity or kind of, you know, big brain at a university that you could ever hear. We're listening to the God who put stars into space, who created the very intricacies of our cells, who created all the fun things we enjoy, like camping this weekend. Now, obviously, these words are transmitted through the writers of the Bible, guys like Paul, who's written this bit of the Bible. But when we hear from the Bible, we are hearing, according to 3 verse 16, God's breathed out words, hearing what he wants us to hear. And so the Bible, it's not like a dusty, outdated book, as we were just singing. Your word is more than just stories of old. It's the truth and the way and the story of love. And because it's the truth, because it's God's spoken, breathed out word, it's important to know it has only one meaning. If I tell my children, you've all got to go to bed at 7 o'clock, I don't mean, well, you've got to go to bed at 7 o'clock, but actually, really, you can go to bed at 9. That's not what I mean. If I say something, it has a meaning. And it's the same with God's word. It has a meaning. It has a truth. Which actually our society and our culture thinks is a slightly funny thing. Often people kind of talk about, well, you have your truth over here, we'll have our truth over here, and, well, we'll all kind of get along together. We don't need to disagree, it's all fine. But if it's God's word, there is a truth, and there is a fake. Now, notice that as church leaders, we are to proclaim the truth, but we're also to point out the fakes. So verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage. So yes, we're to encourage, we're to teach the love and the brilliance of the gospel, that people can be saved. We really need that. But we're also to correct and rebuke. So what the church needs is people to point out the fakes so that they don't go after them. You know, think again of those helmets. You want to be pointed out. If you're wearing the fake, you want to know about it, don't you? Now, I said this in the morning service a couple of weeks ago in a slightly different passage, but it says a very similar thing. But it can feel terribly awkward when someone like me stands up here and points out the error in someone else. And some of you might prefer if we kind of didn't really do that. And currently, we're doing this a little bit, sometimes quite a lot, because at the moment within the Church of England, the leadership, the bishops, are proposing prayers of blessing for same-sex relationships. Something that we think is a fake, is false, and is dangerous. Actually, God's word is clear. It has one truth about sex and relationships. That God's good and wonderful and brilliant design is that sex is meant for a married couple who are a man and a woman. One truth about that. Now, it's worth having a little caveat, right? That we want to say that here at All Saints, we do welcome everybody, whatever your beliefs or your behaviours are. We love you. We want you to come. Please stay. Please give us opportunity to love you. But part of loving you will be sharing with you God's truth. The truth that it keeps us safe rather than the fake which is destructive and dangerous. You see, actually, God calls everyone to have beliefs and behaviours that are shaped by him and his word. And actually, that's going to be hard for all of us. You know, the truth of the gospel is that we're all sinners. That's at the heart of the Christian message. We're praying, confessing our sin earlier. That's uncomfortable and not something we all want to hear. But it's true. And it's good for us to hear that. And it's even better to hear of the message of salvation that saves us from that, that we're going to celebrate later as we eat bread and wine and think about the death, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. We need the preaching of God's word. And here at All Saints, we hope that that is something that we prioritise. And normally, like these kind of topical weeks, that's actually slightly unusual for us. If you're here regularly each week, you'll know that actually that's quite unusual. As Nick said at the beginning, we normally just go through a book of the Bible. Yeah, we've been going through Philippians, chapter 1 one week, chapter 2 the next, chapter 3 and so on. And we do that so that we make sure that we as preachers can't skip over the bits we don't like, skip over the bits that culture doesn't like. We have to teach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It means we are let God set the agenda, that he gets to speak. Which is why we often as well ask you to open up your Bible. It's why each evening we say, look, here's the page number. Because we want you to check that what we're talking about is really there. We want you to know that this is what God is saying. I'm not particularly interested in telling you what I think. We as preachers want to tell you what the God of the universe thinks. So check it. Have a look. Please do. If you haven't tonight, in coming weeks, open up your Bible. Look at what we're saying. So point one, what do we need when there are fakes and phonies out there? We need the preaching of the word. And you might think, kind of, okay, simple enough. Great, let's crack on. But this passage also shows us, gives us a bit of a reality check, that that won't always be easy. Okay, so point one, preach the word. Oh, there we go again. Point two, even when it's difficult. I'm going to read verse two again. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Timothy here, and by implication us, we're told that the preaching of God's word needs to happen in season and out of season. By which we don't mean like during the football season and over the summer. No, what these words mean really is in season and out of season, when people will like it, when it's convenient, and also when they don't like it, when it's not convenient. Because it would seem from verses 3 and 4 that people aren't going to like always what God's word says. Yeah, verse 3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Yeah, people won't put up with sound doctrine. And the phrase sound doctrine kind of means healthy teaching. You know, people won't want to know what's actually good for them. Which happens all the time, right? Happened to me this evening as I was with my children. But it happens all the time, right? You tell a child they've got to eat their vegetables. And they don't want to hear that. Or as I said earlier, you know, you tell them what time they're going to go to bed. Our children stayed up ridiculously late at this camping weekend. And so this evening before I left, I said, look, guys, you're going to go to bed at 6:30 tonight, which is only really half an hour than normal. And one of them was like, oh, not fair. We don't always like to hear what is good for us. Better sleep is good for us. And similarly, with God's word, that is true. You know, right now, the teaching that we want to give on sex and relationships is not what people always want to hear. It's not what our culture wants to hear. But like we said, the Bible challenges us. It tells us things we're not always going to be comfortable with. No wonder, actually, then, if it tells us things we don't like, that people do what the end of verse 3 says. They go and find people who will say what their itching ears want to hear. I mean, it's nicer, let's be honest, to be told what you already think is good. To kind of have, to be patted on the back and said, oh yeah, you're already doing the right thing. You don't worry, no problems, God loves you. So tempting to go and find that kind of preaching. But look, verse 4, the end of verse 4, when we turn to that kind of preaching, when we turn away from the truth, we turn to, the end of verse 4, myths. Fairy tales. Fakes. You know, things that might look good, but not true. They're unhealthy. They're destructive. You know, the flashy helmet, the fake helmet, I mean, it looks good. And everyone's like, ooh, you've got an AGV helmet. Ooh. But actually, if you've got the one that's not the real deal, if you've got the fake, it's potentially very dangerous. Instead, verse 5, we need people who are going to keep their head, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of their ministry. We need preachers who are going to keep preaching the word, even when it's difficult. You know, like the parent who knows what is good for the child. I had to kind of, as my daughter went, oh, I had to say, no, this is good for you. I'm going to keep going. We need preachers who are going to preach the word, even when it's difficult, if we're going to stay safe, if we're going to hear this wonderful salvation. Now, obviously, lots of us in the room aren't preachers. And so here are three thoughts about what it could mean for us to embody this passage, to embody this idea of preaching of the word being really important. First up, have the priority of preaching. Prioritize it in your life. It's what we need here at All Saints. So value it when we as clergy, as we as Bible teachers, put lots of our time and effort into it. And if you end up going to another church, lots of us will in for many different reasons. You know, we move away or we go off to university, etc. It can be good to find a church that, you know, has some good music. And that has other people your age. But put at the top of your list, good preaching. Preaching where God's word is going to be clearly explained. Where they're going to show the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Secondly, we need to do some good listening. You know, whether we stay here or move away, we need to be the good listeners of God's word. We need to listen to it like it really matters. And put your hand up. Anyone in the room done a skydive before? Anyone in the room done a skydive? Wow, no one who's willing to admit it. No one? One where? Someone up there maybe. Oh yeah, someone up in the gallery. Wow. I can't see who it is. From what I understand, if you do a tandem jump for skydiving, you get at least a 20-minute safety briefing. And I don't know about you, but if I'm about to chuck myself out of a plane at 12,000 feet, I am going to be listening pretty carefully. We need to listen to God's word like that. Listening like our lives depend on it. Because our lives do depend on it. You know, 3 verse 14 says that God's word, makes, sorry, 3 verse 15, God's word is the thing that makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's God's word that is going to tell us the things we need to know to get saved, to get eternal life. People are dying every day. Do you want to be someone who is saved? Keep listening to God's word like it matters. And be a good listener, even when God says stuff that you don't like. See, if we've understood this passage rightly, we should expect that it's going to say stuff that makes us feel uncomfortable, makes us kind of squirm in our seat a little bit. In fact, actually, if you end up going week after week after week, and God's word doesn't make you squirm, doesn't make you kind of feel a bit uncomfortable, then one of two things is happening. Either you're not really listening, or your preacher's a bit rubbish. So move somewhere else. Be a good listener. Finally, backing our preachers. As we've just seen in this passage, it's likely that it's not going to be easy. People are going to find it difficult. They're going to want to go elsewhere. From experience, I can say I know that people don't always like what God's word says. It's not easy to stand up here and say things that our culture finds really abhorrent. So please back us when we point you to God's word, when we point you to what God says. Again, it's not us saying it, it's God. So please pray for us. Please thank us when we say what God's word says. Now, if we do it without patience and without gentleness, which the end of verse 2 says we should, please tell us. If we're abrasive and unfriendly and unwelcoming as we teach God's truth, tell us. But otherwise, if we're teaching the truth, please back us. There are false teachers in this world, and it is dangerous for us. What we need as a church, actually what the whole world needs, is the preaching of God's word. So please, let's have the preaching of God's word, even when it's difficult. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible is not just an old book. It is your breathed out words. It is you speaking to us. And so we pray, please protect the preaching of your word in this church and other churches around the country. And please help us all to be good listeners. People who listen to your word and base our lives on it, even when it's difficult. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.